Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Volition RX, a multinational epigenetics company, revolutionizing cancer diagnosis with the development of simple, easy-to-use, cost-effective blood tests involving a range of cancers and other diseases. Volition's clinical trials in human health have shown promising results in detecting several cancer types, including colorectal, lung, and a variety of blood-borne cancers. Volition RX. Web address, volition.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis. Threats. Threats to retaliate, says the Kremlin. What kind of threats? Cyber is first thought. And I welcome Annie Fixler of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, the Deputy Director of the Center on Cyber and Technology Innovation. We're looking at how well defended are not only the private enterprises that have been attacked by Russian bad actors these last months, but also large infrastructure systems, not only in the United States, but also in Europe or our allies around the world. This is a global contest. Annie, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. In your most recent remarks at FTD, you look upon cyber defense as a three-legged stool. If I understand correctly, it's investment, it's collaboration, and it's having a comparable or worthwhile threat to cost the adversary something. You identify collaboration as the weak leg of that stool. How so? What does it mean, Annie? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks so much for having me. So we consider it a three-legged stool because cybersecurity of our nation requires both industry and government action. So the first leg is independent action by industry to invest, to have strong systems, multi-factor authentication, resiliency, and that's things that the private sector can do itself. The third leg of the stool is what the government does, how it projects power, how it tells our adversaries that if they take steps, there will be repercussions. That's all solely a government operation. And then there's the second leg, the sort of the leg in the middle, that is the collaboration between the two sides. Does industry have information from government it needs? Does government have information from industry that it needs? And are they sharing, communicating, planning together, and understanding the threat the same way? And the answer, unfortunately, is not really or not nearly enough. And so more work needs to be done, particularly in that space.
There is such a thing as the Joint Cyber Defense Collaborative. What is that? Who's running it?
Sure. That is a new initiative from the Department of Homeland Security, from its Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA. They launched what's called JCDC, and it brings together government partners and industry partners, primarily technology companies. That's where they started. And it's a place for joint planning, defense collaboration, and that's important, but it is still young. It was launched about 6 months ago, so they're still getting up and running. And it doesn't necessarily have all of the information sharing capabilities that it needs long term, particularly related to the capabilities with other industries. Are they sharing information, sort of what's considered at machine to machine level, so automatically? And is there enough data being shared back and forth? It's a good space for planning, but more information sharing needs to happen.
We're in wartime. Wartime tends to be innovative. You invent systems you didn't know existed on the run. At this point, is there any reporting? Transparency is difficult right now, but is there any reporting that the Russian bad actors or their surrogates in other bad acting states have attacked private or public enterprises with cyber? Anything like that happened?
So in the lead up to the actual invasion itself, with movements of troops and launching of missiles, there were a number of cyber attacks in Ukraine itself. These involved trying to destroy data, trying to DDoS, distributed denial of service, overwhelm websites with too much traffic. There were those sorts of attacks. How much that was government directed versus smart hackers who understood what the Kremlin wanted, I think is a little bit mushy at this point. Suffice to say, Russia is responsible for that. So we saw that in the lead up to the actual military movements. And there's constant cyber operations happening across the board. What we have not seen is a devastating, large-scale attack that can be specifically attributed to Russia yet. And that is a large caveat because we haven't seen it, but things may have happened that we don't know about yet. But it does not appear that Russia has unleashed a large-scale, devastating cyber attack against Ukraine, the West, those that have imposed sanctions on the Kremlin, etc.
We're now in fog of war, and we can't go any further. We have to include the fact that the vulnerability is not only in the territory of the United States, but in our allies' territory as well. All systems can be attacked. And Anna, you mentioned to me that an attack is likely to start with something that would cascade. What would that look like?
Well, so we have a couple examples of what that could look like based on what we've seen before. And I think the most illuminating was the NotPetya attack in 2017. In that case, Russian hackers compromised Ukrainian tax software and used it to distribute malware. The understanding generally is that the attack was meant to stay roughly within Ukraine and hit Ukrainian businesses, Ukrainian infrastructure, energy companies, financial companies, etc. But because there are global companies that operate in Ukraine, they got sort of pushed the malware as well. And the virus quickly spread. So it took down very significant global companies, including FedEx, Maersk, which is a global shipping company, took them basically offline. So we're talking huge companies that move goods across the world. It also impacted a U.S. pharmaceutical company, Merck, and actually they had to shut down production of certain vaccines. So it was a very significant attack that it's our understanding that wasn't entirely what Russia had planned to do, but it cascades because systems are connected. And if you have a piece of software that gets compromised, you can get compromised even if you're not the target.
In the theater itself, the combat zone, there are questions asked. The large one is, why is the internet still up? Why are we able to access virtual presentations from Kiev, from a city under siege? Do we know?
I think we only know a little bit, right? As you said, fog of war, so it can be hard to know precisely. Some theories are, you know, Russian military operations need some amount of that infrastructure to communicate themselves. So if they were to take down the internet, quote unquote, they might hamper their own ability to communicate. So there might be some of that. It may also be that the initial planning, the Russian military planning, assumed this would happen very quickly. So there was no reason to take the internet down if they were going to conquer the country in 4 days. Now they're realizing their planning was underestimating Ukrainian resistance. And so there may still be rejiggering of their plans.
The cell towers are still up as well, and they're communicating. They may or may not be secure. There's some suggestion that they're not. The Russians have made mistakes. The other part that I've noted is that Ukraine is filled with extremely good white hat hackers, I think is what they're called. And they've been operating both in country and around the world because the diaspora is very engaged. They're doing a very good job of getting the word out. I don't see any evidence that Russia's success at blocking So let's move to Russia blocking its own country. Has it shut down access from the outside, or is it in the process of doing that?
It's certainly trying. There's a lot of information limitation, a lot of censorship, shutting down of independent news agencies. And it's a real problem because the Russian people then don't have the information to know what their government is doing.
So what we think is the Russians would like to shut it down, but they apparently don't have planning comparable to the Chinese. Can we compare these two? Is there a Great Wall under construction to match the Great Wall in China?
To some extent, yes. And it's certainly a model. The Great Wall is a model lots of authoritarian countries want to emulate. But they don't have the same kind of infrastructure and that the Chinese do at this stage.
And finally, Annie, are you at FTD, are you surprised the Russians have not launched a major cyber attack yet? Does that this far, this badly into the war?
In some respects, I'm a little surprised because it is a capability they have. Then again, if you are going to launch a missile at something, it's frankly easier to target than it might be to find a circuitous route that's clandestine that you can find and then destroy something with cyber if you're just going to launch a missile at it. So maybe they just plan to use, kinetic options. And that was always the Russian plan.
Annie Fixler is the deputy director of the Center on Cyber and Technology Innovation at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.